This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Oh, there he is. We have him. Chris, don't you dare call him Christopher Dempsey of Altitude TV. Chris, my man, always look forward to catching up with you. Hey, what'd you think of the AFC-NFC championship games yesterday, my man?
I loved them. I'm a big football fan. I felt bad a little bit for the San Francisco 49ers because they weren't able to really put their best foot forward, given the fact that quarterbacks were just dropping like flies for them. And then when Brock Purdy came back in, he couldn't do anything. So, that made that, not that they would have won the game anyway because Philadelphia was playing great, but it certainly would have made it a lot more competitive. There's no doubt about that. And so they weren't able to do that. And then, the Bengals and the Chiefs was very entertaining. Those two teams, man. If you are in the AFC right now, those are the two teams that you're going to have to go through. The Bengals have proven that last year wasn't just a fluke. They got to the Super Bowl. They obviously lost it, and they had any number of plays in yesterday's game could have gone. If they would have gone in a different direction, Cincinnati might just be the one heading to the Super Bowl right now and not the Chiefs, but those two quarterbacks and those two teams aren't going anywhere. So it's they were entertaining. I almost like the championship weekends more than the Super Bowl. It's just that there's such weight and gravity, on those games and I thought the games, for the most part, delivered.
Super Bowl is like a holiday. It's a great thing. There's a huge buildup, and you've got the commercials, the halftime show, and hopefully you can get a good game out of it. But the AFC and NFC Championship, they still feel like a normal game. maybe they're blowouts, whatever, but Super Bowls are just this entire event. So I'm with you. I kind of like AFC, NFC Championship weekend a little bit better. Chris Dempsey joining us. Chris, the rumor mill's churning this time of year surrounding the NBA as far as the trade deadline. And the name we keep hearing is Bones Highland. And I know he's already, in his short career with the Nuggets, a very much beloved Denver Nugget. So this could be hard to swallow for a lot. But how much can you say on this one right now? Is there any truth to those rumors that perhaps they are looking at options right now for Bones?
Well, there's so many reports from so many really actually credible sources that where there's smoke, there's fire, man. I'm not privy to any information myself, but I have to believe the people who are and the reports that are coming out. It looks like that's what it appears to be, and then you've seen a lot of cryptic tweets from Bones as well. So a lot of basically hanging there, stays almost talking to himself in terms of some of that stuff, but to kind of hang in there and stay strong and stay positive through all the stuff. So he hears it, obviously it's quite clearly getting to him. I don't know how much that's playing into how he is or is not performing on the court. He had 11 points but didn't shoot it very well. And the Nuggets lost to the Philadelphia 76ers the other day. So, maybe that is getting through to them. Young players, it does get to you more often than it doesn't with those guys who have never had, their name in trade situations and had to, ask themselves, this team, wonder why this team doesn't want me and blah, blah, blah. So, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with him and the coming. We're February 9th is the trade deadline, so a couple of weeks here. And for the Nuggets, if that is the case, if he is no longer on the roster by February 9th, they really have to sort out how that looks from a who's scoring off the bench standpoint. Because when he is at his best, he is a very effective scorer off the bench, and beyond him, I don't know, that they have another player that would put up big numbers. And I'm talking the ability to put 20 on the board off the bench and really provide a spark, especially from long range, maybe outside of Bruce Brown on the roster. So they would have to get that sorted out, because bench scoring is important, especially in the playoffs. You know, we always talk about non-Jokic minutes, right? And you need to have those sorted out in a way that keeps you effective on the court.
Yeah, it's a bummer on this one, because he is such a fan favorite. I mean, I almost wish the guy just wasn't on Twitter now, because, you know, you grow to love this dude and the Mile High City baby, all that stuff. And I know what matters the most is who fits your team the best, who allows you your best shot at winning a title in this, which I think we all kind of agree on. They are kind of in this championship window. But this one would be a tough one, no question about it. But it is interesting because, you know, Calvin Booth, he didn't draft Bones Highland, so there's maybe not as much of a tie to him.
Right, exactly right. And, you know, that's a very real thing. You know, and all these situations where, you know, new general manager or new coach comes in, and there are players on the roster that they had no real hand in acquiring. You know, if you are a player in that situation and you want to stay in your current situation, then you almost have to go above and beyond, you know, because what happens is, especially, and the Nuggets really don't fall into this category because they are winning so many games right now, but there's still some things that they would like to add to the roster. And if you are a player that is maybe not playing up to what is expected, and they didn't have any real ties to you, then they will cut ties with you. And you see this in all the sports all the time. And so for you're right in this situation. Bones was a Tim Connelly draftee, and you know, which is why in a couple of these reports he's very connected to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Although I don't know if it would be I don't know if the Nuggets would do that in within the division. I'll just put it that way. But you know, so for Bones, look, the best thing Bones can do for himself is to continue to play hard, continue to dial in as much as he can, continue to be successful on the basketball court. Because, you know, even if his future isn't with the Nuggets, I think he still has a very bright future in the NBA. The man can score the basketball. Now, if we want to quibble about his shot selection, we can do that. But then I would also just point out that he's a second-year player who's trying to get it sorted out as well. So if he can kind of work through, get more experience, understand that, and having trust that the basketball will come back to him when he passes it, then he will be at his best. And so, you know, but for him, the only person that you hurt is yourself. If you kind of go into a shell, now your play is terrible, now the next team that even acquires you, maybe they don't want to acquire you, or maybe when you get there, they're not giving you as good an opportunity as you might have gotten if you had shown better. So, you know, it would behoove him to just play really well, and either that'll keep you A, in Denver, or B, get you to a situation where the opportunity will be really handed over for you to be successful.
Yeah, Chris, if they do ultimately move on from Bones Highland, we'll see whatever they get in the trade. Maybe they get a player that can make an immediate impact off the bench or whatever, or they get draft picks of some kind. How much pressure then would be on the rookie, on Christian Brown, who we have seen flourish at times, and we've also seen him not really get any minutes, maybe some garbage minutes. So he's an interesting player. He's really fun to watch, but I also see, you know, there's times where it's like, okay, it doesn't make sense to give him that many minutes. How much would be expected of him as we approach? I mean, we're a couple of months away, but as we approach those playoffs.
Yeah, it would be, I mean, he would have a lot more responsibility. There's no doubt about that. You know, the thing about Christian Brown is, I mean, and we have to remember, I mean, he was the second leading scorer on Kansas national championship team last year. That was something like 14 points per game. So, you know, he doesn't necessarily profile as the player who's going to go 20 plus on the majority of the nights. So then if you're the Nuggets, how do you cobble together a bench that can incorporate, let's say Christian Brown starts it basically averaging, let's call it 12 for the remainder of the season. So his 12 points, and can you get Bruce Brown to 15 every single night? Can Jeff Green pop in, you know, 10 to 15 points every second or third night? And so that your bench, you know, in total is scoring, you know, in the high 30s to low 40s. Most nights. Can you cobble that together, or are you bringing back a player in any potential transaction that can help you with that as well, which is what they would want to do. I mean, I can't imagine that you wouldn't try to approximate some of that production lost by bringing back a player who can do that for you as well. So, you know, and for the Nuggets, if this is change of scenery time, then then you'd have to seek out players who, you know, might be just kind of worn out their welcome in a place and just need a change of scenery, but profile as pretty good scorers and can do that in a way that's, from a reserve standpoint. So, yeah, Christian Brown would be part of the solution. And, you know, from a defense effort and transition standpoint, he'll rise to the occasion. He has all season long. But he would just be part of a puzzle that they would have to really put together if any possible deal involving Bones is done.
Chris Dempsey joining us from Altitude TV. Chris, the battle of the bigs, the battle of the two potential MVPs on Saturday. Philadelphia bested the Nuggets 126-119. And, of course, you're hearing, well, Joel Embiid had 47 points and 18 rebounds. Joker had 24 points, 9 assists, 8 rebounds. Is it fair to say, okay, one-on-one, if it was just those two guys out on the floor, yeah, maybe Joel Embiid wins, but this is a team sport. It's a team of five. How do you do well with the rest of your group? I mean, I made the comparison earlier. I was like, Tom Brady versus the best defensive end in the NFL, one-on-one, the defensive end's going to win, even though Tom Brady's the GOAT. Is it fair to say maybe Joker's the best basketball player, the most valuable, but Joel Embiid might be the better athlete?
That's fair to say. Yeah, I think that's fair to say. The Nuggets was such an interesting game because I have so many thoughts on it. Let's just start with Joel Embiid. I mean, Joel Embiid was quite clearly motivated to, on a national stage, prove what he is as a basketball player. Okay, but he came into the game as the leading scorer in the NBA. So what we always knew is he can score. As a matter of fact, he led the NBA in scoring last year, right? And Joker still won the MVP. So you knew he can score. He really didn't do anything that we didn't know he could already do, but doing it against Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets was his, he was putting his stamp on that game, and he was not going to let anybody else do that, and he was going to be denied it. He's so talented that he basically, as a star, won them a basketball game in the fourth quarter. And so from that standpoint, it wasn't even just 47 points in a loss. It was 47 points and in a comeback victory in like the flashiest of ways. And so he got his flowers for that night. And obviously the Twitter battles back and forth were, raging after that. And, it's the Embiid supporters had the chest out and, see, we told you he's this. And I think, he was a great player who had a great moment. It's why you don't let stars beat you, Like star players will do that every single time. We have two of them here. We've seen Jokic go completely off in a fourth quarter. If you're going to single him up and make it easy for him to score, then he's just going to score on whoever's in front of him. And so, I thought Joel Embiid did that, and he played great. I mean, he just did. Nikola Jokic, he had a really nice 24 points, 9
almost a triple double,
8 rebounds. Like, yeah, exactly, almost another triple double again. But he only took 12 shots. And I think, what was required from him in that game, especially in the fourth quarter, would have been just more shot attempts because he was 8 of 12. It wasn't like anybody was stopping him. You know what I'm saying? And so, and then when Philly went to, in that second half, guarding him with P.J. Tucker and on switches Tobias Harris and keeping Embiid off of him and having Embiid come over as the weak side defender, well, then you got to punish a team for that. And space the court out in a way that now Joker is just working on the block against P.J. Tucker and or Tobias Harris and just torching them. Because what the Nuggets did in that fourth quarter, and honestly, it wasn't horrific, that fourth quarter. I don't think from an offensive standpoint, they didn't shoot it great, but they got decent shots, didn't make them. But what I thought what was required was if Philly's going to go drastically different and take one of the best defensive players in the league and say, nope, you can't guard that guy, which is just one of the scariest moves I've ever seen. But then you got to make them pay for that. And the Nuggets didn't quite do that to the best of their ability. But I would say, Brady, that game was lost in the last minute and 40 of that third quarter when the Nuggets were up 99-84. And then in that last minute 40, they go into the fourth quarter only up three after off the 12-0 run in a minute 40. That is mind-blowing. And it gave Philly all the momentum that it needed. And then it gave Joel Embiid the ability to put a real imprint on a game and win one, which he wouldn't have had that opportunity if the Nuggets would have just taken care of business at the end of the third.
Yeah, it was that you're right. It was infuriating there toward the end. How much do you think, you know, the voters and all that, how much will they look at a game like that and go, well, when they went up against each other, Joel Embiid bested him? Because I think that would be ridiculous. That would be irresponsible, and I hope they wouldn't do that. But that's where people can go sometimes as well. When they went against each other, Embiid was the guy as far as points and such. How much would that be a factor?
Yeah, no, I think it will be a factor. Especially for, you know, when you get down to the end of the season and you're trying to separate two players that are as great as those two guys are, then you start really slicing it thin, and then the head-to-head will be a thing. But look, March 27th, the Philadelphia 76ers come right on back to Denver, and, you know, Jokic isn't going to see it this way, and he's not going to care, and he's just going to play his regular game. But if he wanted to, he could make his own statement in Ball Arena that day, and throw that conversation back into a lot of doubt, because right now what you have is, you know, the Nuggets and the 76ers with similar records here, right now, and you know, a couple of players who are doing great things again. And so right now, you know, little things like head-to-head will matter in an MVP race. And, you know, as unfortunate as that might be, but Nikola Jokic, if he chooses to take it, which he won't, we know Nikola, he's unselfish and he's going to play his game, but he'll have a chance to answer back if he so chooses.
Yeah, I think you're right, and we'll see what happens. Still a lot of season to go here. The Bones Highland stuff is interesting. Of course, the ongoing MVP debate. We'll see if the Joker can grab that third one in a row. Chris, my man, appreciate you as always. We'll look forward to catching up with you perhaps next week or down the road here in a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely, man. We'll see you, man.
All right, Chris Dempsey, Altitude Sports, Altitude TV. Love what he does. I think it's fair to say that, though, Angel, if you're just comparing them pound for pound, Joel Embiid, one-on-one, would probably beat Nikola Jokic. I don't even think there's a probably there. Ten times they go against each other, Embiid's probably winning seven times.
I agree, and I don't think we hardly ever put Jokic up there in terms of his defensive ability.
Right.
He is just a big presence down low, and that might stir some teams away from him. But we've said it many times, Jokic just plays so differently that when you do see him compared to Embiid, you say, why doesn't Jokic play like that? It's like, because that's not his style. That's
he's
trained himself to play.
He's a 7-foot point guard. I mean, he is a point guard.
He's not as
trapped
athletic
in a center's
as
body.
Embiid, and that's perfectly okay.
Right. And that's the thing. It's like, and I like this comparison. Tom Brady's job is to throw the football to open receivers, to find guys, to throw it deep, all that stuff. That's what he did in his career. But if you put Tom Brady up against, I don't know, was it Frank Clark for Kansas City? Put him up against him one-on-one. Just, I'm starting here at the 10-yard line. You're going to be 5 yards in front of me, and I got to try to get past you. Who's winning that battle? Like, if I got to get past him and get to the end zone.
The D lineman.
Probably. Certainly a cornerback, right? An average cornerback would not allow Tom Brady to get past him and get to the end zone. Even if Tom Brady somehow broke the first tackle, he could run downfield. The corner would still catch him and take him down. Does that mean the cornerback is now the GOAT over Tom Brady? No, because Tom Brady's job is to throw it to receivers. Nikola Jokic's job is to pass the ball. That's the number one thing that sets him apart from everybody else that's ever done it. As he passes. So is he the better player than Joel Embiid? In many ways, yes. But one-on-one, if the goal is just, I need this guy versus this guy to score a basket, then Joel Embiid's the better player. but it is a team sport. The award is called the Most Valuable Player. And we know what that means if we read between the lines, the most valuable player to their team. That's what Joker is, more so than Joel Embiid. Embiid had the better game, points in total, total-wise, but Joker did what he normally does, gets close to a triple-double. So he is the most valuable player. It is fair to say, though, and I'll give you this, Philly fans, he is better athletically than Joker. He is a better one-on-one basketball player than Nikola Jokic.
If there are any Philly fans out there, I'm going to pose this question. Would you rather Embiid gets the MVP this year or you win the Super Bowl? Can only get one.
Oh, they take the Super Bowl, right? Although Philly fans are freaking out on Joel Embiid.
Well, this was their, you know, I see, I told you Embiid was better.
Yes.
It's like, well, how many Nuggets games have you watched this year? Oh, just that one.
Just that
okay,
one.
Then. Embiid's the best player in the East. He's not the best in the NBA.
Texter from the 970, you can't just look at one-on-one. That's what I'm saying. You can't. We don't look at it that way, which is why Joker should be considered the MVP. I know we have to take a break. How much does he affect the game? Right. I agree with you. We agree. 12:44 the time. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.